Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Discover hundreds of unforgettable destinations with expert local guides.
But look, first this morning, on Wednesday night, the RTÉ Investigates programme on breaches in nursing home care struck very many people. One of those was my first guest this morning, Dementia Ambassador Helen Mottred-Brennan, who's an advocate for awareness and for the provision of services for people with Alzheimer's. Helen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miriam.
Thanks so much for joining us. Listen, before we talk about that Investigates expose, I want you to remind listeners of your own story, if that's okay, Helen. You've been living with Alzheimer's for 13 years. How are you doing?
I am doing reasonably well. Thankfully, I still live at home. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to do that. And I just want to remind the listeners that in 2013, I did speak to you, was the first person in this country, you know, to say that I had the illness and that I was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And I did that out of what we're talking about this week, our rights being upheld. And that opportunity was given to me through the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, who supports me today with home care. But I did the interview because I believed, you know, our voices should be heard. Now, today we call that public patient involvement. But Miriam, you know, I want people to remember that and to understand that we can all do well. But before I start, I just want to remember the other great voices of those days, Dermot, Seamus, Derek and Ronan, I know who you know well, and to name a few, and to remember all those that have been abused in care homes. I live at home. I live with my dog, Lexi, and he's my motivation. He gets me up every day. And, you know, there's opportunities for us to live in our own homes and to really live well in our own homes and not to, if we get the support. But, I mean, we must get the support to live at home. So I'm lucky that I have supports. I have my support, Carmel Gagan, that travels with me to spread the word of that we can all live well at home. I also have Erin from the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland. And Erin comes to me 10 hours per week. And she does brain exercises with me. She takes me for walks. We go for coffee. We do things that keep me involved in the community. And then I live in a great community in Tipperary where my neighbours and everybody is very supportive to me. But I couldn't do that, Miriam. I could not live alone. I could not have the life I have without the support. And, you know, there are so many great solutions out there too that we shouldn't have to look at what we just looked at this week. And because people want to remain in their own homes for as long as they can. But as we know, we don't have a statutory right to do that in this country.
And we'll come back to that. Just, you know, it reminds me, Helen, you know, yeah, when we first spoke in 2013, to me, you still sound as good as ever. But I'm just wondering, as I'm talking to you now, if I met you for the first time, would I know, like, do people know you have Alzheimer's, or do you make a point at some stage early on of explaining it to people straight off or not?
Well, because I have short-term memory, and I would say about this week, maybe thankful. Sometimes I say, Miriam, Alzheimer's does come in handy because I don't want to, you know, you have short-term memory and you do not remember, and I don't want to remember all the pain of what happened this week. So, yes, I do. It's because it's short-term and I get confused. And my capacity is, so you're on 100% capacity and I'm on 70 in retention and in trying to grasp conversation at that, you know, at that moment. And yes, so if some of it stays with me, but most of it does not stay, you know. So it is about short-term memory. It's not about long-term memory primarily for me. Yes, some is gone, but it is about my short-term memory. And it's about when I forget something, when I do forget the keys in the supermarket, or I leave my card in the machine, which I'm better about now, but because I found other ways of using my phone, for example. But I think you have to explain to people. It's like I'm not at home. I'm in a hotel, and they couldn't understand the coverage was really bad in the hotel. And, you know, I have to go, and I think they're looking at me for tin heads, and I'm saying that I need coverage. And there's just things like that that sometimes become a real challenge to you. But you have to tell people. It's much better if you speak up, because the more, what has happened over the years, Miriam, is that We have developed now a lot of people around the world that speak out, because it's important that we speak out, because if we do not speak up, who best can tell us what's best for us? You know, we can give our voice, and everybody, our voices are listened to. Were our voices listened to this week? No, our voices were not listened to this week. But can I just say that before I say anything else about what happened, I just want to say it was heartbreaking and unacceptable. But I want to clearly state, from my own personal experience, the majority of nursing homes in Ireland do very good work. In fact, I know some that do superb work. But I think people, as people looking at this programme saw, people were not listened to. Where was our personhood? You know, where was diversity? Where were our vulnerabilities? You know, where was our citizenship? It didn't come into it. And we talk a lot about who are we? You know, who were we before we went into those care homes? Who are we at home? You know, so we need the community. We need our health service to embrace, you know, who we were, and to find programs that fits with us. And I have to be honest, for myself, it took, as you might imagine, it took a few days to find the appropriate person to meet my personality and to help me to live well at home. And, you know, I think with good supports, we don't need to go to a nursing home. All we want is, and all I wanted from day one, is for whether I have dementia. I'm an older woman now, so I need to want to stay in my home for as long as I can. But if we don't have a statutory right to stay in our own homes, and everybody puts us into a care home, well, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, explain this to me, Helen. So look, I know you were a voice for people with dementia when the assisted decision-making process is changing, and now you're also a voice for the statutory home care. So what do you mean by that, and what do you want to see put in place in the first place?
Well, I want to see put in place that, you know, we have fair deal to go into a nursing home. So for example, heaven forbid, but if, you know, if I got very ill tomorrow and I'm in hospital, I live alone, I have one son and he lives in New York. I do not have a family that can take care of me. So where is the step-down facilities? We hear this all the time in the media about lack of step-down facilities. You know, there aren't the lack of step-down facilities until the appropriate care is found for me at home, and that is supports. So where's the supports? You know, the supports aren't there, Miriam. And that is the real, that's the problem. We're happy as people. We've done wonderful research with this from Professor Eamon O'Shea at University of Galway. And we decided many years ago through the Irish Dementia Working Group that we were all happy to make our contribution. If we go to a care home, we have to make a contribution. We have to have a fair deal at the care home. So what I'm advocating for, and have been for many years, is for us to have a statutory right to stay in our own home. And that has nothing to do with dementia. That is to do with every single person that has to, that needs support at home.
And Helen, why has it not progressed? Is it basically down to funding? And is it that you want to see maybe a fair deal type of scheme for home care so people like you can stay living in their homes and not go into nursing homes?
Of course. And if of course, that's exactly what we want. But Miriam, we have to look at why we need it. And there's so much research, and if I hear of one more committee being set up, I'm going to scream, because we have one committee after another being set up about looking at this. How long more are we going to keep looking? How long more do the Department of Health need to know that we are all people, human beings, that need to have the appropriate care? We do not need to nursing homes. And this is, as I said, for every, it isn't just about my own situation. It's about, because I advocate for older people, that we have that right. But of course, you said the right words. It's about funding. But if they could look at it on the other side of the funding, Miriam, and I want to say this, where can we have value-based healthcare? You know, where can we have the taxpayer? You and me, where can we have value for money? Because if we're all going to end up in a care home, you know, we can stay in our own homes, and we can for a lot less. Yes, they will tell us, oh, well, you know, the provision for people that will need round the clock care. Yes, that's true. But if you're paying for round the clock care very much so in a care home, so why not pay for that care?
And actually, there's a couple of, you know, very good texts here, and I'm going to read one to you to see what you'd say to it. Miriam, while it's fantastic that Helen can live well, her case is not typical of an elderly person with dementia and Alzheimer's and other conditions who need full-time care. Families aren't always able to manage care at home. And also, there are some vulnerable people who should be in care, but they're kept at home as family members want to control their finances or want to keep the house. What would you say to that, Helen?
Well, can I just say to you, and I probably should have said the word in the beginning, this is about choice. This is about choice. So if somebody wants, yes, maybe I am not, but I have to work extremely very hard with my health every single day. And yes, I understand that people have difficulties and families have difficulties, but I'm not, I am saying the state should be providing. You know, they're happy to provide for us in the care home. So no family should have to take that, if you will, financial burden of taking care of the family at home. If the state are happy to send us all to nursing homes, well, let them pay for us all in our own homes. And that is what I'm advocating for. I'm advocating for the right. It's our human right. We have the decision support service. If people want to live in their own home, that is what they should have in their plan ahead in their lives. What do I want? I want to stay in my own home for as long as I possibly can.
And actually,
and of course, there are people. Sorry, I don't mean to put across you. But of course, there are people that are very happy to go in care homes. And that is great. That is their choice. But if you talk to, as we do, up and down the country, the majority of older people, they want to stay in their own homes for as long as they possibly can. And we do not want to have families. Absolutely not. I do not have family. I do not, here in Ireland, that can take care of me. But I do not believe that any family should have to take care of their lover. And I say that because why are the states so very, very happy to pay for people to go in the care home, but not happy to keep them in their own home?
And also, Helen, another of our listeners, Liz Carey, says, I mean, you can have all the plans, funding, legislation you want, Helen, but if you do not pay people a reasonable salary to be a home help, you'll be unable to provide the service that you want. That is a very legitimate point, isn't it, Helen?
It's a very legitimate point. But Miriam, they have to look at how much, why can it happen in many other countries? It can happen in many other countries that people are, that families are paid to stay, or people are paid for care in their own home. So why should Ireland be any different to some other countries in Europe? So why, yes, we are paid, the staff here in Ireland are paid abysmally. You know, yes, if we compare them with other countries, but can I just say that we don't involve enough community staff, you know, because the funding doesn't come from the state. You know, the funding is not adequate enough for staff in the Alzheimer's Society and other groups. But I'll just give you one example. And I think it's a perfect example of what every community in Connemara Connemara Community Forum. They looked into setting up their own community care, and they've set it up, and they pay a very good rate of pay. They pay mileage. You know, that could be, we've talked to Carmel Gagan, my support, and myself, we've talked to ministers about this throughout the last few years. That could be replicated across the country. We don't have to be taking money out of a healthcare budget. We look at education and training, which was greatly lacking in this nursing home. And in nursing homes, some, you know, not many. But where was the education and training? The education and training did not exist. Where was the basic fundamentals of Miriam, of dignity and respect for older people? So, yes, I may not be the typical example, but, you know, I would also say that my rights were not upheld.
And actually, what you're saying, Helen, is definitely resonating. We've got so many messages. Another says, good points by Helen. I'm in my 80s. I do not want a nursing home. The state should provide home care, which is probably cheaper. Let them ease our minds. And another woman, Noreen, says, there's nothing in between home and nursing homes. Maybe we need retirement areas in every town. What about that?
Yeah, well, we should have some small areas, you know, a small community in every community in this country. You know, we had a number of years ago when we had that great housing boom. There was going to be so many houses kept for vulnerable people, so older people. Where are they today? Where are all those small homes? I live in a fairly decent size home. Do I need the home size I have? No, I don't. But where is the step down? Where's the smaller house that I can buy? And the biggest thing in this country, absolutely, is there are no step down facilities. So in other countries, you may have 10 houses that may be a mix of people with different disabilities, including dementia, that live in these small communities. And the communities are wonderful at supporting them. You know, I'll just name with one. We have a small community in many towns across Ireland by Vincent de Paul. We have a great community over in Mulrani that is ran by Dr. Derry Crowley, which is a perfect example of how we can live. That's a perfect example of how we can live in our own homes. And that's what we need. We need smaller. We need, of course, we call it independent living, or and that's generally what it is, that you live in your own, but with the support. So yes, there are people that have a very, very high demands and need to, from a medical point of view, and yes, need to go to nursing homes. I'm not saying that everybody should be in their own home. I'm saying the majority of people should be able to live in their own.
Well, look, finally, Helen, lots of lovely messages for you. Kathleen Phelan has texted to say, please give my love and best wishes to Helen, who I worked with many years ago. She's such an inspiration. So that's from Kathleen. Very briefly, you're in London for a few days, so you're still enjoying your life a lot.
Well, you know, one needs to see an odd show, and we need to live. You know, the other thing is that, you know, we're written off when we have the diagnosis, and it doesn't mean that we can't live. We can't live well. You know, we can live. We can live very well.
Well, Helen, will ever write you off.
I just want everybody to understand that I am just trying my best as one older woman that has form of Alzheimer's, and thank God with the help and support that I've got. But there's one thing I want to leave with, or two. Well, one is I want to remember the man that supported me all the early years, who unfortunately is no longer with me, and that is Sean, my husband. And I'm so lucky that I have a wonderful big family who are so supportive of me. But all of this, Miriam, in life, you know, there has to be, we need, there's no cure. There's no cure for me. There's no cure for anybody that has already been diagnosed. But there is purpose. There's connection and there's laughter. And there's still so much to life. And what pulls all that together? Hope. And that connects every part of my story. And I hope that I can continue writing. I can continue speaking. But hope has given me dignity. And it allow me to be seen, to be heard, and to be supported without being pitied. And we don't need to be pitied. So if we all hold on to hope, no matter whether we have or have not dementia, and we build a world where people like me, we're not hidden, we're not hurried, like we are in nursing homes, we're sent away without the choice being ours, but we should be respected and we're embraced and we're loved, and we're loved in the communities. And I want to stay in my community, which I love and cherish, and I hope it's reciprocated.
Well, Helen Rochford-Brennan, you're an inspiration. I love speaking to you. Every time I do, I feel better about the whole world. Thanks so much for chatting with me today. Enjoy your time in London. And for anyone, of course, who missed that phenomenal RT Investigates programme, you can watch it back on the RT player. Bye, Helen. Enjoy London. We'll take a break.